quick. I want to welcome back the man behind the glass. Jack is also back there. Jack Kerwin, doing an outstanding job. And we also have back for the first time, and I feel like, man, it's got to at least be double-digit days now, at least 10 days. We've got Alec Rio that is manning things right now behind the glass. Alec, good to have you back. I was a little bit worried about you after last week. I know you came down with a cold.
Bronchitis.
All right. I didn't know if you wanted me to say it over the air. Okay.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. My immune system, I can air things over there. It's no big deal.
You're good now. That's the main thing.
That's all that matters.
Because that is contagious, all right? But you had bronchitis, and I've never had bronchitis, but it's never fun being sick, so I'm glad you are back.
Yeah, 0 out of 10 would recommend for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, you know, Connor and I, we had a lot of fun. Connor Mathis, engineer of the Monday and Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We had some fun on yesterday's Current Sports. You know, just talking about our favorite moments of the Super Bowl. There weren't many because it was such an incredibly boring game. You know, we talked about the NFL 100 commercial. Nothing beat that. I mean, that was the best commercial. That's one of the best commercials I've ever seen. And I had no idea the NFL turns 100 next season, which is crazy to think about. But all the NFL legends gathered for that moment. I'm told that the NFL actually, these superstars, I mean, countless superstars, Peyton Manning and Barry Sanders made an appearance. Deion Sanders was in the house. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana. I could go on and on and on. Odell Beckham Jr., on and on and on. Superstars of the past and present gathering around for this commercial. And, you know, they weren't paid to do the commercial, but the NFL did pay for their travel and expenses to get there, which is kind of cool. But I can only imagine what the coordination was for that. I mean, just to make sure you got the right shots and everything.
Pure chaos.
Pure chaos, right? Exactly. So that was my favorite commercial, along with probably the Alexa Harrison Ford commercial. That was hilarious. But overall, commercials are kind of getting dull. They have been getting dull for the last few years now when it comes to the NFL. I'm in the rare group that enjoyed the NFL halftime show. I don't know what people were expecting when you read Maroon 5 for the NFL halftime show. You can't, when I read Maroon 5, I'm like, all right, let me temper my expectations a little bit. This is Maroon 5. This isn't Prince. All right. Prince, it rained, for goodness sake, while he was performing Purple Rain. I mean, you couldn't have written that better, but Maroon 5 did a good job. I thought Adam Levine did a great job. Big Boy, his set should have been longer. You know,
I thought both Travis Scott and Big Boy's set should have been longer.
Yeah, I thought Travis Scott, I mean, his introduction, SpongeBob was kind of hot, and then you had the Comet coming down. I thought, in comparison to years past, especially last year when you had Justin Timberlake, I was a bit underwhelmed because I'm a JT fan, and that was disappointing. But overall, solid show. I don't know. I'm in the rare category with that, though. So I want to give you guys an opportunity. I don't know if, Jack, you have anything to chime in with when it comes to Super Bowl. Favorite moment of the Super Bowl, Alec, real quick.
I guess I got to say, you know, Tom Brady just accepting the award. I thought, you know, just seeing his kids up there with them was just a really nice moment for all of them.
It was great. And there's no debate now. I don't want to hear it anymore. Greatest quarterback of all time. Book it. Done. That conversation's dead now. I'm curious, though. And we had some fun with this yesterday. How many more years can he do this? Dude's 41 now. He showed he had a solid year, but we did see him, you know, take some steps back. And I think, you know, age has a lot to do with that. 41 years old. I said maybe one more. I don't know. But it's Tom Brady. It's Bill Belichick. I won't believe that the Patriots are no longer the Patriots until they do lose in the playoffs, until they don't make an AFC championship game. I won't believe it until I see it. So I wouldn't put anything past them. Jack?
Well, yeah, I mean, going back to what you just said, how much longer can Tom Brady do this? I think a lot of the onus was off Tom Brady these playoffs. You know, I think especially Sunday's game came down more to defense. Belichick's game plan, stopping Sean McVay's offense. So,
yeah.
I mean, if Tom Brady doesn't have to be relied on to play at the level he was playing at a few years ago, I don't see why he can stop anytime soon. I mean, Tom Brady wasn't the reason they won on Sunday.
It was
Belichick and his game plan.
Yeah, when that defense was amazing.
Yeah, they were outstanding.
I could not believe how well that defense played. And 3 points? You know, somebody won $100,000 out in Vegas for putting like 200 down that the L.A. Rams would only score 3 points in that game. Nobody saw that coming except that guy was probably just spreading his money around and just hit the jackpot. Like, wow, okay, that really happened. I'm you know, I can go on a vacation here. But nobody saw that coming. An outstanding job. If you like defense, which most sports fans don't appreciate it, especially when you're talking about the Super Bowl. It's another thing we dove into yesterday. When you talk about the Super Bowl, you go to these Super Bowl parties, right? Everybody gathers, food there, 20 or so people. I don't know how big your Super Bowl party was, but, you know, there's so much chatter going on. You are going to get a lot of people watching the Super Bowl that don't normally watch football, let alone sports. So if the game isn't entertaining, it really makes it look bad, and it makes it incredibly boring, and that's what we got. At the end of the day, though, I mean, 6 rings for Tom Brady, pretty impressive. Okay, before I hit this first break, we're taking your thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball, because what we witnessed on Saturday, there's no doubt about it, that was one of the worst Michigan State men's basketball losses in the Tom Izzo era. So much, it was elevated as well because of the hype with ESPN's College Game Day being in the house. Indiana, lowly team, 7 straight losses. This was a game that Michigan State should have cruised to a victory in. That didn't happen. There are multiple areas that went wrong for the Spartans, including the glaring fact that they were horrible from the free throw line. They could not hit free throws. I don't know what was going on with that. Nick Ward was just absent. And Nick Ward has been absent these last few games now. Nick Ward has not shown up, and the game plan is obvious. If you want to slow down Nick Ward, you double-team him. You make him give up the basketball, and he can effectively be neutralized. That's what we're seeing at least right now. Early on in the season, teams would do that. They would double-team Nick Ward, but Nick seemed to, you know, hit the open man, and he would repost up down low, get the ball back, easy layup. I don't know what has happened as of late. Now, I keep hearing this a lot when I've gone at Nick Ward since that game. Well, he had the flu, Al. He had the flu. If you're out there suiting up for the green and white, Alec, I don't want to hear any excuses, especially when you're playing Indiana.
Michael Jordan had the flu. Well, come on.
Hold on. You can't ever put Michael
I know,
Jordan
I understand that. I understand that, but still, like, you got to hold yourself to a certain degree at some point, you know?
Yeah, we'll never, I apologize, listen, we would never put Michael Jordan and Nick Ward's name in the same sentence. But I hear you, Alec, I hear you. If you suit up, you got to go out there, and it's Indiana. This isn't, you know, Michigan. This isn't Purdue. This isn't some of the top-tier teams in the Big Ten Conference. It's Indiana. Credit Archie Miller. I thought this team was desperate. They played desperate. They put it all out there. The defense was great. Guys who don't normally hit three-pointers started hitting three-pointers, and Michigan State had no answer. And you got to get more from Nick Ward. And you heard that Tom Izzo at the half when he was talking with Maria Taylor. He straight up told Maria Taylor, and he was, you could tell Izzo was really holding back his emotions. He wanted to use some words that weren't FCC compliant, but he said, "Look, Nick Ward can't stop. You know, he has to stop. You know, dribbling around the perimeter and get his butt." He used the word "butt" in the paint. And second half begins. Nick Ward begins to get his butt in the paint and starts to score and really affect the game. Then it went away. And then it was just like the game plan went out the window again. And I also want to say this before we hit this first break, because we'll play to you some of the Tom Izzo press conference from yesterday at the Breslin Center. Josh Langford, I'm not saying that's the reason, because it's not. That's not the reason Michigan State lost to Indiana on Saturday, because they should have beaten Indiana without Josh Langford, okay? With that team that they had on Saturday, they should have beaten Indiana. Taking away 15 points, though, that's a lot. That's a lot. And you know who has to step up in this moment, and it's pretty glaring right now. And I don't know if he can grow up that fast. And it's Aaron Henry. Aaron Henry has so much talent. And I just, when I look at Aaron Henry sometimes, when I looked at him against Indiana, there were times where, you know, you saw him being aggressive and taking charge offensively. But there were times where he deferred a bit. And I think Aaron is kind of caught in this mentality. Okay, I still want to be a team player here. You know, we've got some solid pieces around us. I don't want to mess up that. But I think that is going to have to change now, knowing that Josh Langford is no longer with this team. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you'll get a chance to hear what Tom Izzo had to say after having 2 days to digest. Well, actually 1 day. Well, no, 2 days, because they played Saturday. Yeah, 2 days to digest what happened on Saturday against Indiana. And we will also introduce you to two new voices to the current sports squad throughout the semester. We've been doing this since last week. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Real quick, Alec, would you put Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman in Canton in the Hall of Fame? Think he's a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah, I definitely would say so.
I would as well. There's an interesting story, though, from Kevin Van Valkenburg. I've never heard of the guy before. ESPN senior writer. Who has written a compelling piece as to why you shouldn't put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame. He makes a few interesting arguments, and I think a lot of people are discussing the fact. And a lot of people are upset that Edelman is the one who got the MVP award
the same
in Super
season
Bowl because of the steroid situation, mm-hmm. Right? He was suspended the first four games of the year for taking some kind of substance. Now, again, when it comes to that, we don't know the full story. Edelman actually declined to elaborate on what the substance was and what led to the suspension. We've heard some athletes come out and say, "Yeah, man, I was just, you know, I went down the street to the local store and, you know, needed a pick me up, so I got a Monster energy drink. Didn't know that in the energy drink there was a banned substance in there, and boom, I get flagged and get suspended." That is much different than a steroid. You know, a performance-enhancing drug. If it was something that's on the banned substance list and you didn't know and you may have taken, you know, an aspirin or a Monster energy drink and it was found in your system, that's totally different. But we don't know, because Edelman was asked about it and he said, I'm not going to comment on what happened or what it was. So I don't know. But, you know, then you have the conversation about the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Should those who have used steroids, performance-enhancing drugs, or banned substances be allowed, you know, to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? You know what my stance has been on that. I say yes. I'm not going to go into the reasons right now because of time. All right? It's only an hour show. But we can have that conversation for another time this week. Jack, what are your thoughts on that, man?
I actually would not put Julian Edelman into the Hall of Fame, kind of for the same reason I wouldn't put Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame, honestly, even though he won two Super Bowl rings as a quarterback.
You wouldn't put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame?
No, absolutely not, and here's
really?
Why. Because for no period of time during his career, for no extended period of time, has Eli Manning ever been a top five quarterback. So I understand the two Super Bowl rings, and I understand that he will get in because he won two rings in New York and his last name is Manning. But when you look at his resume, that absolutely plays a role.
That's not the only reason, no. Jack. We'll debate this later on this week because I got some points on that too. But yeah, I hear you. So you wouldn't put Eli in there.
No,
the same reason.
Same reason with Edelman. I don't think Edelman's ever for an extended period of time ever been like a top five receiver in the NFL. I mean, I think he's a winner. I think he's great in that system, but
top five your cutoff to be considered a Hall of Famer? What if you're a top 10 guy in the league?
top 10 for... No, top I would 15, say at yeah. some point you need to be a top 5 receiver in the NFL. I don't think Julian Edelman's probably ever been a top 5 receiver in the NFL.
Interesting argument. Okay. I really wish I could debate you on this right now. Come back on Thursday, folks. We'll have that debate here on WKAR's Current Sports. Real quick, before we play to you, some of the audio from Tom Izzo's Monday afternoon press conference at the Breslin Center. As we've been doing, you know, for the past, you know, week and a half now, we've been introducing you guys to new faces, new voices, in which you will be hearing from throughout the semester. You will be reading and watching their work.